The sermon is A Famine of Hearing God's Word, preached by Jack Scopp. The text is read from Amos chapter 8, verses 9 through 11.
Please turn to the book of Amos, the 8th chapter, and beginning with verse 9, we'll read through verse 11, those three verses, Amos 8, verses 9 through 11. And let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And begin with me there on verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day, and I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, and of a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And let's pray.
Scopp admits that he is not really preaching the text, which again is no surprise. I think this is the sixth or seventh sermon from him that I've analyzed, and he has never yet preached the text. But I'll quote him.
It's one of those messages, I don't know where to put it. It's not really a Bible study, although it probably fits a little better on that. But it doesn't fit my theme right now and the will of God, and so I have no place for it there. It's something I want to give before our schools start because it has a lot to do with our educational system and our philosophy of education and teaching. It is not punchy, so I don't like to preach it. It's one of those sermons where I study and study and study the Bible and I find information and I say, our people need that, but I don't know how to package it together.
All around me, red lights are flashing at this. Elders are to preach the Word of God, systematically, methodically, from one end to the other, with everything in context. And they are to preach the whole counsel of God. This admission from him that he cuts, edits, and refits based on the needs he perceives and guided by what is punchy and what is not punchy in the text, all show a wrong attitude towards preaching. He openly acknowledges that he is now repackaging the Bible to fit his meaning. At least he's open about asserting his lordship over the Bible, but what Scopp is clearly saying is that he is not subjecting himself to the Bible. Instead, he is subjecting the Bible to the message he believes he ought to preach. That glibly, he has made himself preeminent over Scripture. He then announces he will now preach on the Bible, and that puts the irony meters in the red zone. He then goes on to say that a famine does not mean not having the Bible, but rather a famine is the state of not understanding the Bible. This, by the way, is not at all what Amos is saying, but more on that later. Scopp gives no background for the text in Amos. He starts tiddling on about wouldest thous and knowest nots and quickly goes completely off track from the text of Amos chapter 8. I'm 19 minutes into it. He has said nothing about the state of the two kingdoms, the role of the minor prophets, the prophecies against Israel, Amos the prophet, Amos's prophecy, or the fulfillment of Amos's prophecy. He talks about the shekel as a monetary unit at 1957. Now he's gotten on to the American Revolution, which also has nothing to do with Amos 8, nor does he link any event or preacher from the American Revolution to Amos 8. Then he gets off on guns at 21:30. However, he does accurately observe that even the deacons at First Baptist Church of Hammond cannot find the book of Amos without the table of contents. I'm sure he's right about that.
You couldn't even find Amos except for the contents, and you're a deacon!
Then again, they would do better if their elders would teach the Bible systematically. Just past 22 minutes 30 seconds comes the lecture on evil Southern music and irony of irony. He complains that Southern gospel music is filled with theological inaccuracies.
I turned the Christian radio station on this morning, and I was listening to a song, and I said to my, was it this morning? Other than last week. I said to my wife or my son, I said, you know, it's got a real nice tune. It's got sweet sounding words. There's only one little problem with that song. It is absolutely 100% unscriptural.
Well, what about this sermon? Somehow in saying that we are a musical society, he says that we are a visual society. That's at about 25 minutes. Okay, now he's preaching about the pews. We're 26 minutes into this sermon, and he's got the crowd rooting and tooting like it's a football game, and he hasn't touched Amos. its context, its meaning, or its fulfillment. He hasn't touched God's holiness, his right to judge sin, and the offensiveness of sin, especially the sin of people who have adopted a veneer of being religious, which is the setting of the book of Amos. At 27 minutes 9 seconds, he is talking about the concept of being old-fashioned, as though being old-fashioned in and of itself is some sort of virtue.
Folks, let me go to your music library and you prove to me you're old-fashioned.
He's just about incoherent to an outsider, speaking in the cultural references of his own church so deeply that I don't know what he means. The congregation is whooping it up. He does say that we ought to be old-fashioned at 28:15 in our lives.
This idea of old-fashioned, folks, is supposed to be in our message, in our morality, in our lifestyle.
I'd like to see where the Bible holds forth being old-fashioned as a virtue. The Pharisees were old-fashioned, and they were apostate. The sermon is at 30 minutes 25 seconds, and he is talking about his grandfather calling a woman a Jezebel for wearing nail polish. He does not link that story to Amos 8. I have about 20 minutes to go, I think, but he's rambling like a madman. Okay, now he's on the cubit span hand breath at 32:39, and how nobody knows how to convert them to modern English measures. Now he's back on the visual culture. He again asserts incorrectly that the famine of Amos is a famine of understanding. He's saying the famine Amos predicts is a famine of inability to understand the Bible because people are not educated enough to understand many of the words. This, again, is not what Amos was predicting. He then says the Bible is just as good a piece of literature as the Iliad and Odyssey, and his main reason is that the Bible is provably true, and the Iliad and Odyssey cannot be proved to be true. This shows his incredible ignorance of what makes literature lasting, and being factually provable is low on the list of what has made some literature endure and other literature pass into oblivion. The Bible always loses something when it is taught as great literature. Why? Because literature is the compilation of man's best efforts to define and embellish his experience on the earth. The Bible is the revelation of God. Furthermore, much of the Bible is stripped down to eliminate references to man's reactions, details of the setting, plot devices such as suspense, characterization, and so on, so that it does not become a mere storybook. The writers at times definitely prevented what they were writing from becoming mere stories. Compared to the Iliad and Odyssey, the Bible has few texts to contribute as literature, and the reason for this is that it is written as the revelation of God, not as the accumulation of man's experience and outlook, and not as a mere story. All of that is an aside for me to help demyth people who hear undereducated men declare that the Bible is great literature. Most of the Bible is written in a very straightforward fashion without embellishment. Yes, you can find exceptions. It does have its soaring passages. But kick the literature idea and treat it for what it is, revelation.